Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If Season 2, Episode 5. What if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? That's probably not the emphasis that you're supposed to put there. But all that and more of this that we have some amount of control over.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And with us today, our good friend from Animation Deliberation and Multiverse News, J. Scotty St. Clair. What's going on, J. Scotty?
Not too much. Glad to be back. I'll be honest and say I might be doing a little bit better if I had some pecan pie, but...
Oh, stop your jealousy. You know, you got to compare your life to your own life. You know, move forward. You can't compare it to others. Just because I have pecan pie over here on this side of the screen. Zoom isn't real life. You know, they say that about, like, Instagram.
You're competing against yourself and nothing more.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
There's a version of me... that has pecan pie, though, and I'm envious of that version.
And that is a version to strive for, I agree.
Yeah.
And there are also versions of the both of you that pronounce it as pecan pie, much like I do.
Nah, man, pecans are for truck drivers.
Well, I'll send you my recipe. This is my own homemade pecan pie that I made my very own self. Feel good about it.
Did you go and pick the pecans yourself?
Yeah, at Publix.
Yeah, those ones right there.
That bag right there.
Oh man.
Yeah.
If you got bourbon pecans from nuts.com using the code whatever we have.
Yeah. Ooh, I bet those.
That would have been a great segue.
Yeah. This would be a great segue to that ad that we're not reading today for nuts.com/MCU. Yeah. I did actually do that for Christmas. I went to our promo code nuts.com/MCU or promo URL, and I ordered a bunch for family because I really like
good
a
gifts,
lot.
Good gifts. Practical.
All right. Well, how about we dive into talking about this episode of What If Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? A really interesting episode because it not only combined the Captain America Winter Soldier plot line, but it also combined it with the Black Widow plotline and getting to see those characters and sort of settings from each of those worlds. And it got this weird, like, 50s vibe, WandaVision-esque 50s town. I don't know. It was cool,
but it was in Sokovia. It also had the ending of, like, something crashing into Sokovia. So we got Age of Ultron as well.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go a different direction with that. I thought you were going to tie it back to the visual similarity between Black Widow and the Winter Soldier with the Project Insight helicarrier and the Red Room both, like, falling to the earth in a fiery blaze.
I thought the same thing.
Mean, that's the obvious parallel. I'm going deeper.
Sure.
But no, it is another good point. The Sokovia of it all, like, that's another little Marvel Easter egg to bring into this little What If episode. For
sure. I feel like this episode was just like, let's do the whole MCU phase two. Just the whole thing. Just like all of it. Smash it all in.
Smash a little phase two, sprinkle in a little phase four. Get an animated version of Melina in there because I need that poster now.
Yep. As voiced by Rachel Weisz.
Was it voiced by Rachel Weisz?
It was. Oh, yeah. I saw her name. I saw her name coming up in the credits at the beginning, and I was like, it's ruined! I know she's in there now!
Yeah.
The surprise is ruined!
That's the double-edged sword about not skipping that intro, is you do get spoiled about some of the characters if you recognize the actors.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah.
I can't listen to that intro without going, time, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the stars.
The multiverse is the final frontier.
Yeah. Well, you're doing your Watcher voice again, and we talked about it last time, about how fun it is to do the Watcher voice. But I loved Jeffrey Wright's delivery in the final scene when he's doing his typical like deep register there, like, I see all, I know all. What the hell's this? Like the way his voice just went, and the way he was like thrown off guard, it threw me off guard, and it worked so well.
It really did. It
got an audible laugh out of me both times I watched it.
Yep.
Yeah, Peggy comes to, and we get what appears to be 1602 versions of both Nick Fury and Wanda.
Yep. And I swear, man, like when watching episode 6, I was just like, come on, take her too. Let's get them all in there. Let's get everybody to 1602. Is this the 1602 world? I want that one too. Let's bring them all in. I was so excited about that because I love the Neil Gaiman 1602 comic. It, like, that verse is so cool.
I have not read it, and
nor have I.
It seems neat.
Yeah,
it's available on Amazon.com/MCUcast for no.
Nope,
we don't have that affiliate link.
Well, I mean, the staying power and like the popularity of that particular like Elseworld, pardon the term here in the Marvel side of things, but you know, the fact that we're going to visit 1602, and from what I can guess at this point, like that is going to be the big crossover that we get in this season, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. It does seem like it's heading towards that. We knew that episode was coming, but we didn't know that like Peggy Carter was getting pulled into that world, that part of the multiverse. I think that and if that's any indication, like you said, if that's the big overarching plot we're getting, I think that's pretty cool. It's a weird direction to go. I felt like that was going to be like just another episode that would introduce a character that they would grab for whatever multiverse shenanigans are going to happen, whatever new Guardians of the Multiverse they have.
I mean, this ending felt kind of reminiscent of the Party Thor one in season 1, where like at the end of it, Ultron bots, you know, like the Infinity Ultron bots show up, and they're like, where the hell did these guys come from? Like, what the hell?
Right. The Watcher has a similar reaction. Yeah.
It's that whole unexpected from, you know, the guy who sees all and knows all. And what the hell is that?
Yeah. After we got off the cast, I think it was last night, Jay Scotty, and we were talking about Thanos and why he didn't react more or whatever. And I was saying, I said, both times we've seen him die. And then after we got off the cast, I realized we've seen him die 5 times.
Wow.
I think it's 5. Now we've seen him die here in What If. We saw him die the first time getting his head cut off. We've seen him die in Endgame. We've seen him die in Multiverse of Madness. And we've seen him die in What If Season 1.
When did he die in Multiverse of Madness? I don't remember that.
It was the flashback showing what Doctor Strange, how Doctor Strange killed him in 838.
Oh, right. Good call.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like other times we've seen, because we were talking about how he died sort of stoically and didn't react very heavily. I was like, he kind of did that in Endgame too. And in Infinity War. And I started thinking about it. Oh, and the other 3 times we've seen him die, he's never had a huge like fear reaction, you know?
Sure. He's always just like, all right.
It's just funny to have that big of a sample size to like study that question.
Right? Like this like big bad of an entire saga within the MCU, three whole phases, that like this is the guy, he's coming, and now we've seen him die more than a handful of times.
Yeah.
we're to the point to where Thanos is just a punk now.
Yeah, it's a, death's an old friend.
Some people have joked about that with Kang, and how Kang died and has died or like has been taken out a couple of times, and it may make him seem weaker than he could be, you know. And like, but if you think about it, Thanos, you know, the ultimate bad so far, has been like taken out 5 times. Kind of crazy. Getting back to this episode, because I feel like me and the 3 of us will just like spin out and talk the MCU generally instead of talking about this episode, and we'll be here for 2 hours, which, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing tonight, but we could.
I'm doing this. So shall we spin out?
The what The one thing I did not like in this episode, which I felt was dumb, was they're in the middle of the Battle of New York, and she's calling the shots like you do, like Cap yeah. does. And she says, Iron Man, Thor, you keep fighting down here. Me and the only other Avenger that doesn't fly, we're going to go up top. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's terrible strategy. We're going to rely on Chitauri soldiers to carry us up there instead of the two flying other flying members heading up there.
Yeah. No, that's, they won't expect that. It's mind
games. It's mind games, exactly.
They're like, these people don't fly, so clearly they're going to stay. What the hell? How did they get up here to the highest point in the battlefield?
Yeah, it was like the okay. opening line of the episode, and I was like, that's silly. That's not good calling, Cap. Sorry.
That's funny, because that didn't even register for me. My attention focused on another flying character. I focused on the fact that we had the Wasp as mm-hmm. part of this lineup. And
yeah.
We didn't get confirmation whether this was the Hope or the Janet version of the Wasp. I would have liked to, you know, have had just a moment to have her unmasked to get that confirmation. But when she zips through the Chitauri brains, and like the sound design behind that is so satisfying. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that was a squish and a squelch, I think.
I really liked that Wasp was there. And I'm assuming that it's Janet.
Yeah, she was in okay. red. She was all in red.
Okay, that okay. and also because Hope, this is, I don't know how many years before that other movie, but Hope, I don't know, would be pretty young. Of course, we've already seen a version of this where Hope became an agent and died, and then... Well, with that episode right. last season. So it's very possible she could be there, but my headcanon is that Janet, for whatever reason, Janet is still around. Maybe Hank isn't. And in this mm-hmm. version of the story, like, she wasn't as antagonistic towards S.H.I.E.L.D., didn't blame them like Hank did, and so she right. ended up, like, sticking around and working with the Avengers and being sort of a senior member instead.
I think that's probably a result of Peggy Carter being such an inspiration.
Exactly.
In the verse. Good call.
And like the you know, the heroics that she did were so different from what Cap did, or from what Steve did, and you know, I want to call it Prime, mm-hmm. and you got that DC crap in my brain.
You're welcome.
In the sacred timeline, like in the 616 verse, like it's so different what she did and how like inspiring she was, that like that's going to have echoes throughout the whole timeline.
Well, not just the inspiration part of it, which I definitely think is part of it, but like there's also the aspect of just different people are in charge. You've got Bucky sticking sure. around and becoming like the Secretary of Defense or whatever, or is he the Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Secretary of State. Okay. So like you've got these characters who died in the original verse carrying on. You've got, instead of Bucky running around as changing world events, you've got the Hydra Stomper like doing completely yep. different missions, and it's just mm-hmm. and you've got the Red Room in charge instead of you know, the Winter Soldier program. So it all just sort of like everything's a little different. So there's not, it's nice to think that though that like the changes made to this verse happened prior to Ant-Man and the Wasp were running around in the 70s or whatever. And so it makes yeah. sense that Wasp would still be around.
I want to address a couple things that got brought up there. And it was just really nice to actually see like the old version of Bucky. Like we've seen the old version of Peggy. We've seen the old version of Cap. But Bucky's always kind of been this tortured soul that's never really got to have that normal life. So to get to see the old version of him was pretty cool. But the what if render for the old version of Bucky favors Billy Bob Thornton a lot, which it doesn't bother me. I love Billy Bob Thornton, but it just kind of threw me off a little bit. But I did want to dial back to what you brought up, Jeff, about the inspiration that Peggy serves, because I thought that it plays really nicely into the episode when you have Melina talk about how every girl in Russia aspires to be Peggy Carter. So I love that read yep. on it.
Yeah. And like, Widow said that when she was leaving, the Red Room, she stabbed the guy in the throat, right?
Drake rather off, than yeah.
like, yeah, rather than blowing up a room and like potentially not getting him. Like she knows that she killed him.
Mm-hmm. Dracov's so, like, dead.
That very much got Dracov out of the way so that Melina could be in charge.
Yeah.
And things are different, you know?
Yeah.
Things are different now.
It's really nice. It's a really nice, just like, it's a really nice what if. Like, they're just continuing the story. And this is the Black Widow from, wait, where did the Black Widow go that was in, I was confused. At the end of last season, Black Widow from the Ultronverse, what if Ultron won, ends up going somewhere
else.
She
went to the one where Hank killed all the Avengers.
Okay, yes. That's right. Yes. For some reason, I had it in my head that she went with Peggy, but then I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense, because there was still clearly a Black Widow in this universe that Melina knows. Is this... Right. I got a little confused in the middle of this one.
Okay. Yeah, that one was... she went to the battlefield on top of the helicarrier where you saw all the Asgardian ships
flying around.
Right, right. Good call.
Because there was that war because of, you know, Thor got... murdered.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
Not to change gears too much here, but at the mention of Melina again, I don't want to gloss over Rachel Weisz and like her performance. Like, I feel like we've had a lot of stellar voice talent in What If and so many returning actors, but Rachel Weisz, she really just like chewed up the scenery, and you can tell she really relished getting to embrace that villainous turn. And in terms of like the way villains get their comeuppance, this was one of my favorites across like any medium. Like, that was just such a satisfying moment. And I am no fashionista myself, but those heels, I took note of those heels and took note of the fact that Natasha took those heels to the face, and the fact that she is an animated version of her character did not make that, you know, that impact hurt any less for me.
Yeah, I took note of those heels too, and I know Jeff did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've seen a cosplay version of Wanda step on Jeff at a con before.
We weren't going to talk about that, Matt. We agreed not to talk about that, Matt.
Was it the we were at Dragon Con? The picture's somewhere on the Straight Opinion chat, but there was a Wanda walking around with like a sign that said like $5 to step on you or something like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that was in the dealer hall.
Yeah, and so you laid on the ground and I paid her $5
to step
on you.
Matt was like, I'm going to pay for this. Get your ass on the floor. And I laid down and was like, ooh, it's nice and cool.
The picture was too good. It was worth the $5.
Oh, man.
You know, one of my favorite shots in this episode is the flipping of the car on the shield.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it was cool.
Reminiscent of the first episode of season one, where Captain Carter flipped the truck.
Yes, yes. I just love
that. She's really good at that.
I love that
shot. And I love that they turned that on its head a little bit by, like, Steve was just, like, repeatedly throwing cars.
Yeah.
And, like, she flipped the one and was like, oh, yeah, so heroic. What? You had that heroic moment, but you got...
I think it was in that same sequence we got one of my favorite like camera transitions where Peggy was being pummeled by the Hydra Stomper, and it transitioned from her taking impact to Natasha taking impact from Melina, and it just worked really, really well.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
Oh, man.
Stuff.
I just made another connection with this episode. Widow firing a grappling hook onto something and attaching it to the other person.
Oh, so that she I see where can, you're going with it. Okay.
You know? And instead of like her falling to her death, Melina got dragged upward to her death.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't love.
Yep. You have to give up your mom, right? Did she get the soul stone? Is that where that was?
Yeah. She got the soul stone right there, right in Sokovia. Yep. A really small thing, but I liked the slow motion jumping through fences. It happens twice in the episode, once with Captain Carter and Black Widow jumping through some sort of fence, and it like does a slow motion side view. Yes.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to later on all those widows doing it all together, and it's just, oh man, this is just cool stuff.
Just it was really cool. There was one thing that kind of like I was weirded out in that widow shot. Where there was one that like slid through a hole in the bottom of the fence.
I saw that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that like the character model didn't really move. Like, she's just static. Super stiff. Just yeah. Like, we're just going to drag this.
Glide along the ground. Yeah.
Yep. It was like Mortal too. Kombat 2, like a low kick.
Yeah, it totally was.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that shot too, and my mind kind of went to like, oh, this is kind of a cool mashup between like the shot from the Avengers and Age of Ultron meets like, yep. You know, Ferris Bueller rushing home to make it home before his parents get home, which Spider-Man Homecoming lampooned as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but totally.
There were a couple of shots with the Widows where I noticed where like they had their guns, you know, mounted high, like ready to take a kill shot. And I actually was like one of the first times I'd really... I'm sure I at least contemplated in the past, but just like the similarity between the Winter Soldier program and the Black Widows and how like, you know, in our timeline, the Winter Soldiers really never came to be, but you know, they could really either team up or go toe to toe with the Black Widows. And that would be like an all out war across yeah. the globe we could oh, possibly yeah. contend with.
That's a good what if in itself. Like,
sure.
What if the Widows went to war with the Winter Soldiers? Like, yeah. yeah. Good stuff.
Like, what if they allied with the Winter Soldiers?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking aim, being ready to fire, Widow takes aim at Bucky, takes aim at Steve, and then Bucky steps in the way, which I thought was interesting. Okay. It was interesting, but it was kind of like Widow was ready to kill Steve. You know, she's like ready to go. She's gonna do it, but then Bucky steps in the way. But then she goes on like the, you know, Winter Soldier road trip sort of thing with him to like save him. It was, mm-hmm. it was just kind of weird. It was like, I almost expected at some point because, Fury says, I'm counting on you to do the right thing. Like I know Peggy is not going to do this. Like she's not going to kill Steve, but I'm counting on you to do the right thing. I expected some point in this thing for like her to just finally take the kill shot, you know, when like he kept, especially after he like tricked them into coming and you realize it was all like a fake out to get them on site or whatever. But never did. She never did.
I think by then though, like she had been going on the trip and was just kind of along for the ride. Like, oh, I'm waiting for the opportune right. moment. But then like she got sort of convinced, and led to that position. But then Peggy said like, okay, you could say I told you so.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then like, they had their own things to deal with, so she, like she couldn't take the kill shot because she was booking it away from being shot at.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think that she had the opportunity to take that kill shot.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's just, I guess, like from a narrative perspective, I kind of expected her to be the Black Widow who is often doing the duplicitous thing for the right reason, but like, you know, it could have been a really tragic moment if she ended up taking the kill shot. Because she's like Peggy's standing, begging Steve to like not kill her, putting her shield down, all that stuff. And then instead of Steve just deciding not to, Black Widow just takes him out. You know, something like that. And it's like, then that puts that rift in the relationship.
She did shoot at him later.
Oh, yeah. It's true. She shot the grappling hook.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Steve is, the suit is somehow keeping Steve young and that he's trapped in it or he'll die. It's just... doesn't seem like how the suit worked in season one, but like that it had like a Fountain of Youth property to it.
Well, it hadn't been affected by the Red Room and Hydra or whoever.
Right.
It had not yet been re-engineered, I would say.
Yeah.
Because what was it? They went to various places around the world. And it was somewhere in South America.
So Argentina?
Argentina. Yeah.
1953, Argentina.
The very one.
Yeah.
I was like, what about when Widow was facing down the ballerina? She said, like, did you forget about Argentina? It's like, oh, you show off. No, that wouldn't have been the same time frame.
No, unfortunately.
I was like, that's a link. No, it's not.
Searching for connections. Searching for connections. I think there's plenty in this one to not have to search for more.
Well, my final note is not a super serious one, but, you know, we've often seen, like, these questions have, like, rippling ramifications, kind of like the butterfly effect. But for my purposes, I think it's safe to assume with, like, the concept here being what if Peggy Carter was the first Avenger, and we're still just kind of following that through line. The fact that Nick Fury says that they didn't debrief her on Bigfoot as well is confirmation to me that Bigfoot exists within the main Marvel Cinematic Universe timeline. So as a somewhat casual squatcher, this is a day of victory for me.
Nice.
I don't think he meant it that way. Because he was saying that that this one was a rumor. The Hydra Stomper was a rumor.
Yeah. Like,
and he's like, we're not going to brief you on, you know, Bigfoot, Chupacabras.
Scoot's point is taken, though, because, like, you know, it did end up being a true rumor. So, and, you know, if anyone would know that.
A trumor,
if you will. I love that movie. Kevin Bacon. And it's not a trumor. Okay, sorry.
It was Kindergarten Tremor.
Lord. Okay, last thing I had in my notes was the skydive scene was cool. Like you said, not very deep, but it was just a fun and intense scene.
That was another Age of Ultron connection. Like, where somebody had to ride a giant thing, like, falling into the Quinjet and, like, have it crash there, okay, and then fly away with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I dug it. It was a lot of fun.
Man, so many small connections.
Yeah, for real.
I liked the pacing in this episode versus the previous one.
Oh, yeah. The previous one was just go.
Yeah, the Iron Man one was just like, like, there was just so much always happening. And it was overwhelming to the point where I was like, I don't know if I like this episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot all the time. But this one was still pretty quickly paced, but it was, like, it felt more organic, I guess. Probably because we were already familiar with some of the characters.
Right.
Like, especially Captain Carter.
Well, it kind of mirrors the tones of the movies that it's spoofing, you know, like the, that is very much what happens in Ragnarok too. You never really get a chance to, like, stop and breathe. It goes. And this, like, the Winter Soldier and Black Widow both have sort of like espionage, slow pacing that leads to cool, you know, turns and, surprises and stuff. So yeah, I think I like that. My main criticism of this season so far, and Jace Guy's heard me talk about it too many times at this point, but it's the idea that, like, and you too, Jeff, like the one episode that we talked about, Blade Runner, that was like very noir Blade Runner-y, and then it sort of turned into a laugh factory, and it was kind of like, this doesn't feel like the tone it was going. I do think there's been a few now that have maintained the intended tone throughout. Like, this one did not ever turn into, like, really jokey. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't go for that sort of Guardians Ragnarok thing of, like, joke a minute. It stayed in that, like, Winter Soldier espionage feel. And I think that's
a good choice. Yeah, it stayed a spy thriller the whole time.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, we're going to wrap that up, and we're going to go record about episode 6 now, which is one of my, so far it's my favorite of the season, so I can't wait to talk about it. And, if you want, we're over on patreon.com/mcucast. I'm going to drop these quicker over there, but they'll still be dropping one a day in the feed, the main feed. So we'll be finishing up the season one a day for the rest of the week. And then, if you would like to catch us, catch them quicker, go to patreon.com/mcucast and I will drop them as soon as I can edit them. So, thank you guys for joining us. And Jay Scotty, tell the people where they can find you online.
Yeah, you can find me at not just one, but two places. Animation Deliberation, if you're a fan of animated content. And then I'm also over there on Multiverse News with Matthew Carroll, Haley Hobbs, and Jasis, and every week.
Don't talk to me about Caroline Reavers. Don't do it.
Yeah,
we haven't.
I'm sorry, bud.
Yeah,
you took the bet.
I took the bet. I feel like the bet was a little changed on me, but I took it. I still agreed to the terms. We made a bet a few weeks ago on Multiverse News that if Aquaman didn't make $40 million, then I would eat a Carolina Reaper on the podcast. So That'll be fun. I ordered it. I hope it'll be here for this week's podcast.
We may have to modify that further. Maybe just a bite. Like, I don't want to like kill any of our participants if we.
Yeah, you it. Might. You might get an immediate ulcer and die if you ate a whole Carolina Reaper.
All right, I'll do some research. Don't want to.
Matt's like, you promise?
Yeah. Yeah, Jay just did a little reel on our Instagram, and he was like, it says on the package, don't eat if you have heart conditions or stomach conditions.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good. That sounds great. I'm glad I lost this.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. Look for that on Multiverse News next week. And this week on Multiverse News, though, it'll be dropping the same time this episode drops. So if you're listening to this, it's already online. We're doing our best of 2023. So check that out over on Multiverse News. So yeah. Thanks for being here, Jay Scotty.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. And Jeff, as always, great podcasting with you, my friend. And we'll be back soon. No response. We'll Sorry. Be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here. And a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.